Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Time to celebrate, Browns fans. 13-10 over the Green Bay Packers. It was 10-0. It was an ugly football game. It really was. And the last part of this football game, and we're going to relive it coming up in the noon hour, it was awful. It was awful before then. And then it was just way too much fun. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. The defense, Andy, I don't think there's any question. Legit. It's legit. And going into the season, we thought, how can this team succeed this year? The answer was real clear. The defense had to get back to something that looked similar to what it was in 2023 when they were number one in the NFL in fewest yards allowed. This year, so far, three games, small sample size, number one in yardage allowed, least number of yards allowed. But the key to me here, they've played three pretty dang good offenses in the first 3 weeks of the season. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, Baltimore with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, Green Bay with Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs, and they're number one in yardage allowed in the NFL through three games.
Yeah, Miles was asked about that after the game yesterday too, and he said, you know, look at the quarterbacks that you've seen through 3 weeks and look at the teams in general that you played, and do you think that you're, I think he was asked something along the lines of, do you think you're the best defense? And, you know, he said we could be kind of, you know, he gave a pretty good answer, but I don't know how you can't think that this isn't one of the best. Look what they did yesterday. They had no business winning that game, if you think about it. At the end of the day, you're down
10 with under 4 minutes to go, and your offense had stunk.
And if that defense is, somebody asked me, somebody who I trust who covers the Browns too, and said to me, because yesterday we were pretty optimistic. We walked out of here on Friday, Dan. I said, I think the Browns are going to win like some crazy score like 19-17 or something like that. I don't think they're going to get to 20 because they just don't. And I thought that they would win in the teens. I just didn't think it would. And I knew it would be close. I thought it might be a field goal if they could do it, all based on the defense. But I also thought the defense was going to have to score for them to win. And it was almost like, you know, Miles said after the game that, you know, he had talked to the team and the team had rallied around him, or someone asked him a question about it. And it was like, I told these guys, we are not giving up in the end. We can win this game. We are in it. We can go do this. Let's go do this in the second half. And the defense played to win. There's no question. It's not that the offense didn't. It's
the
just
offense tried to.
And then the defense started getting, not snippy or snarky, whatever it was, just kind of just trying to get the ball more than they normally do. And I'm not saying that they don't try to strip the ball on every play, but it was almost like someone said to the defense, if you guys don't make a play that puts us deep in scoring position, or we don't come up with a turnover at this point, we're not going to win. And I really think that was the mindset of the defense, and that's what you need to win games if you're this team. That's what you're just going to have to do. You can't go through a season averaging 15.3 points per game. You just can't.
It's up from last year.
That's down from last year.
Wasn't it 15.2?
No, it was 16-2 last year, wasn't it? I thought it was 6. They were down. Was it 15-2?
I'll go back and look.
It doesn't matter. It's a point. Thank God for Atlanta and Houston, because they're worse than we are.
Think about this. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, good passing attack, obviously. They held, in week one, held Burrow to 113 yards, held Jamar Chase to 2 catches for 26 yards. Chase Brown, pretty good running back last year, had 21 carries for 43 yards. 2 yards per carry for the Bengals rushing game. Baltimore, big time offense. We all know that. And they scored 41 points. We all saw that. But the Browns defense held Derrick Henry to 23 yards on 11 carries. That's just over 2 yards per carry. And the Ravens as a team, good rushing team, had only 45 yards rushing, 2.1 yards per carry. And then yesterday, you roll in Josh Jacobs, who's a good running back. 1.9 yards per carry for Josh Jacobs.
And he looked good early in the game. That's the scary part.
16 carries for 30 yards. And the Packers as a team averaged 2.6 yards per carry. They have done a great job in three games against three very good offensive teams. And I say very good about the Bengals because Joe Burrow was back, and Joe Burrow was the man last year. So he might not have been ready to go. They might not have been ready to go, but they're a big-time offense. And this defense has shut down three big-time offenses, Andy. That's impressive. And if you look at what's coming, you got a big-time offense in Detroit. You got a big-time wide receiver in Justin Jefferson in Minnesota. This defense is going to have to play well for this team to win games, because unless something drastic happens, it's hard to imagine the offense going from near the bottom to near the top.
Judkins definitely was a shot of confidence for the team yesterday. You know, do you have a guy that can rush for 100 yards? So he came close yesterday.
Yeah, you do now. Yeah. You want to give him the ball.
You just got to keep giving. I'm hung up on the play to Njoku at the end. Because I got to tell you, we sit here and we rip Kevin Stefanski. We don't. We look at it analytically. But I listen to fans rip him all the time.
Do we?
I don't know.
Are we analytic dudes?
I wouldn't say we're analytic. No, I wouldn't. But I think we look at it from a news perspective more than we do. You know what I'm saying? Like a fair.
I'd give you that.
Like fair. I think we try to be fair. When somebody makes a mistake and it doesn't work, you can always look at statistics, or you can look at it was just a bad play. I mean, and it happens sometimes. But that call to Njoku yesterday in the fourth quarter to get the ball up to kick that game-winning field goal with less than 17.
Andy, that was a big boy call.
I mean, the words I want to use, I can't use because if you're in a locker room, I would say.
I said big boy. You can use another word instead of boy.
Yeah, and the fact that he trusted his team to be able to run a play with that little time, with
gain
no
yardage.
Timeouts.
Gain yardage.
Throw the ball down the middle of the field, which if I'm Green Bay, I would have been shocked. I would have been like, what are they doing? Because I was sitting next to Darryl. I'm like, what are we doing? This is insane. But
would have been about a 63-yard field goal attempt to win it.
If they hadn't made the pass.
Which used to be the NFL record, you know, forever and ever with Tom Dempsey.
I just thought that call was super, you know, what-y. And so.
Big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The harder part was the execution of how quick those guys got to the line and
There were 12 seconds on the clock when they ran that play.
So for
come on, man.
But the variable is the referee in that situation. Like, they could have all been at the line and it would have been absolutely perfect. And if the referee doesn't touch the ball, then the ball's not in play yet to play. The clock runs, but it's not technically, you can't make a play. And I don't know if they alerted the referees before the game and said, hey, if this gets close at the end, we want to let you know that we are going to be set as quick as you possibly can, and that we would hope that the referees would move at lightning speed to make sure that we were able to make the play. And we got lucky. I mean, we had a referee that was on it, touched the ball, and they had the opportunity to spike the ball at the end. Otherwise, we all would have been sitting here going, oh, I can't believe they tried to run a play. Who tries to run a play? And Kevin broke it down in the postgame show, or in his postgame press conference yesterday. He talked about it, and he said they just keep working on that play over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we were the recipients of good news yesterday on that play. That was amazing.
The cool part about that too, Andy. Yeah, you converted the play to Njoku. You gained, 8 yards? That was terrific. You get that done. And it just shows the rehearsal involved in the practice time, because they immediately knew what to do. That's a tough play to make sure all your guys are lined up and set before you spike that ball. Everybody was lined up. They were set. They got it done. And the ending of the game to me was a reward for the defense.
It was.
For doing an incredible job all game. They got to Jordan Love 5 different times. There were 5 sacks. And the thing that I think we're going to like about this football team, and we're seeing it now, and I would think Myles Garrett really likes it, he's not the only one getting to the quarterback.
No.
They had 5 sacks yesterday. Swessinger had 1. By the way, Swessinger looks like the real deal. Miles had a half a sack. Malik Collins had a sack and a half. Aiden Huntington involved in a sack. He had a half a sack. So did Mason Graham. Alex Wright had a sack. So you got a lot of different guys who are putting pressure on the quarterback. The line's doing its job. We thought the line was going to be the key to this defense. The line has been the key to this defense so far.
Yeah.
I think they've been outstanding. And that's allowed Schlesinger to do some things. And with Schlesinger doing some things, then you're getting some activity out of the linebacker spot. And we weren't sure that was going to happen with JOK. And with JOK out, you thought, all right, can this... Well, Schlesinger has stepped in.
Then you get a guy retires right at the beginning of camp. Oh, man.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
No.
And so that's worked out. And then the defensive backs have been pretty good. You know, they've had some moments that weren't. Cam Mitchell obviously had some big problems against Baltimore. He was inactive yesterday.
Denzel had a Superman play yesterday.
Yeah.
The play where he was flying, though, it was a sideline play. I can't remember what quarter it was, where he was able to knock the ball down as it was just about to be caught. And I was like, wow, now you see it. Now you get it, especially when it's in isolation like that. And you're like, I can't believe he was able to get to that ball and knock it away before he had a chance to catch it. So man, everything they say, like we were talking about this in pregame yesterday, you know, when Denzel Ward's in, you know, there things don't happen because they don't want to throw to his side. And so you wonder, because Tyvus and I were talking about this yesterday in the pregame show, like what is the difference between the Browns with Denzel in and with Denzel not in? Because unless you're watching the secondary, you know, on a play, which I don't think most people are following the ball. And if you're not following what's going on in the defensive backfield, you may not catch all the things he does or does not do throughout a game. And that play he made yesterday was just unbelievable too. I mean, there were just so many great plays in that game defensively to set you up for the offense at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you wonder, you hear people say, okay, this guy's great. This guy's a Pro Bowler. This guy does this. He does this. He does this. But if you're not watching the nuances of the game, you may not see that or know that or anticipate to watch when something else is happening. And, you know, it's just one of those games yesterday, the difference between having him in the game and then not having him in the game. And, you know, Geno yesterday, too, same thing. I don't know if Tyvus calls him Geno all the time.
Geno?
Geno. Greg Newsom.
You guys are tight, huh?
No, he calls him Geno, and I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad nickname.
Nice.
So, you know, both those guys, I mean, they're a big part of the reason why, you know, we're not sitting here talking about 0-3. I mean, that's the obit to a season, 0-3. It really is.
2018, last time a team that went 0-3 made the
play. Yeah, Houston. So you got one team in this century that's done it. Six teams in the history of the league. So that's, I'm so glad, I mean, even just to have one win, the season, you know, it's not, you didn't, the whole narrative didn't change. I know people want to press the quarterback part of this thing, but the narrative towards winning and trying to have a successful season are still available to you at, you know, at 1-2, 0-3. They're just not. History will tell you they are not.
So the defense has been top notch. Folks, we all watched the offense yesterday. The offense, I'm not going to say gets a pass because they won the game, because you can't let the offense get a pass. What's going on there? What do you think about it? What can they do? 216-474-0092. Is Kevin Stefanski at fault here, or does he deserve a lot of credit? Because the offense, when it had to, came through and made the plays to help win the football game. It's Baskin and Phelps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Right here on The Fan. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, is going to join us. And then at noon, Tyvus Powell from the Browns Radio Network joining us here on Baskin and Phelps as we enjoy the Browns' 13-10 win over the Green Bay Packers yesterday. Improbable. I think that's a good word. Improbable. But that happens in the NFL.
I kept thinking, you tell me if you were thinking this too, that they made a mistake on the fumble call, that the Browns should have had the ball back. Now, I understand why they didn't get the ball back. I also, you know, read the report, Scott Petrak, who was the,
pool reporter,
to talk to the NFL about what exactly they saw. And then
their thought was no clear recovery.
That's right. And Kevin explained the same thing. Like, you don't see Kevin get very emotional, but he was not happy about the call. And you could see when he was talking to the side judge about it.
Well, Miles was standing there listening. I love that.
Yeah. And so as he turned away in his frustration, so then he came back and he said what was explained to him was that they needed to make sure their arms were around the ball so that if we had full possession, the change to send it the other way wasn't going to happen. It's just, I don't know. To me, you tell me what you saw, because this is what we were watching on that play too, that the ball appeared to be underneath Jacob's leg and that it was encompassed by the Browns while it was on the ground. Now, the question was he down or not? Sure.
Can I interrupt?
Don't say it doesn't matter because we were talking about
14 years. Dana, 14 years?
Yeah.
Is that the first use of the word encompassed we've ever had on the show?
Is that the right word?
Definitely said compass at least once or twice.
That's true. We're directionally challenged. Now,
encompassed, I don't believe we've ever had on the show before.
I don't think you put the two together.
No. It's very impressive. Very impressive.
I'm reading my Mensa word a day book, so I'm just trying to get a little bit better. I don't know where some of these words come from sometimes.
Yes, we know.
I've heard some of the words you've come up with before.
Here's what I thought. I thought the ball was out, and it looked to me like Jacobs recovered, but I couldn't tell. And since the ruling on the field was that he recovered, that was going to stand.
Right, they didn't have enough video.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating. How many different angles did they have?
Well, the NFL also, but you're not going to see everything. I mean, there are a lot of human body parts around there. And the NFL.
They only had two cameras on it?
The official who talked to Scott also said if the ruling on the field had been the Browns recovered,
they would have kept it. Yeah.
The Browns would have kept it. Yeah. So I get that completely. Daryl's in Cleveland. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hey, Daryl.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
I need help to clarify a rule.
Good luck.
All right, we'll try.
All right.
Remember, there's a reason that the NFL, that the networks have officials in the booth with the announcers.
That's true. Well, just tell me this. I did not know that a team can throw a challenge flag to challenge a play that the refs did not call a penalty on.
12 men on the field.
Penalty called.
Is that what you're, the 12 men on the field call?
Yes.
Apparently they can.
Yeah. I guess we found out yesterday they can.
There you go.
Yeah, they did, but previously, I mean, I've never seen it. Nobody calls a flag or penalty to say, oh, he wasn't offsides, or nobody says, hey, that wasn't holding. I mean, you know, 12 men on the field, really?
And it was by a jump, wasn't it? He just missed.
I don't think you're allowed to call a challenge. Well, obviously you can. They did do it, but all right.
So listen, it is a challengeable play, number of players. Whether the correct number of players on the field are at times, that is 100% an NFL rule, that you can challenge that. I'm just looking at the challengeable plays.
That's the one challenge that you can do.
I mean, you can challenge possession. Scoring plays, which are all already challenged. Okay, incomplete passes, out of bounds, down by contact, line to gain, number of players, and penalty enforcement.
Yeah, what do you mean by penalty enforcement?
If they put the ball in the right, I got to believe that's the correct spot.
Okay, so the only right one spot to say call a penalty is 12 men. Yeah, Other than that, the rest of those were not penalty calls.
No, line to gain. I mean, look, you're challenging the spot, right? You're challenging whether someone had their foot in or not. Those aren't penalties.
Right. But 12 men on the field is
challengeable. Yes.
Right. So that's the only penalty not called or called that you can throw a flag on.
Remember I said at the beginning of this that there's a reason they put officials with the network TV announcers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to hire one and have him sit here with us.
Okay.
Thanks, Daryl.
It is a rule, though. Number of players on the field is challengeable. And we saw it yesterday.
It's essentially the Aaron Rodgers rule. I mean, he's been doing that forever. The Packers have been doing that forever, where they catch you with 12 guys on the field as you're substituting, quick right. snap the ball, and then usually take a deep shot. The one difference is that Jordan Love didn't take the deep shot there, but Green Bay's been doing that for 20 years.
The Browns' offense is not good. Okay, let's start with that. The running game looks like it has life, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Quinshon Judkins, 5.5 yards per carry in the two games he's been here. And yesterday, he played some big guy football and did a nice job when the offense finally got a chance to get things going in the fourth quarter. It was 9:26 left in the game when they got the football back. The only problem was they ended up eating up, I mean, they won the game. They ate up almost 6 minutes on the clock and ended up with only a field goal. But it worked. It worked yesterday. If you are Kevin Stefanski right now, are you changing quarterbacks? Keywords were right now.
You're asking me? Straight
up? Yes, I am.
No. I'm not, because I think Kevin, if I'm Kevin, I'm not. I might consider it. Trust me, in the first half, I was considering it in the first half yesterday. I was considering it in the third quarter yesterday. I was like, they just can't get this offense moving. Now, do people want to sit here and complain that you want to say that he's not a mobile quarterback? Well, we all knew that going into the season. Was Tom Brady a mobile quarterback? Was Ben Roethlisberger a mobile? There's plenty
Later
of guys.
Later in his career, no.
No, there are plenty of guys that were not mobile quarterbacks and were able to win, especially if you have a strong defense like we do. I know people want to see mobile quarterbacks. I get it. I understand it. But Kevin, I think Kevin truly believes that he could start all 17 games with Joe. He trusts Joe. And why? I mean, you take the play like the Njoku play yesterday. That's one of the reasons why you think you trust him. And it's like having another coach on the field. The problem is just making sure the execution is. We don't need another coach. We need someone that can make a good call. He missed a lot of guys that were open yesterday.
Yes, he did.
He did. Now, it's easy to see in the press
line. Yeah. Is he not getting enough time? There are a lot of factors that go into that. But clearly there were some things that were happening on the field that they didn't hit. I agree with you. If I'm Kevin Stefanski, I'm not changing quarterbacks right now.
No matter what. I mean, as a fan, I'm sitting here trying to say, man, I'd like to see Gabriel. But I'm not the one getting paid to run this team. And if they can pull off wins against Green Bay, even in an ugly offensive day, it's hard for me to sit here and say that Kevin's wrong. I think Kevin's doing what he thinks is best for the team, and he thinks that they can win this way. I know we're all excited about two rookie quarterbacks, but when again in my lifetime has the number two quarterback not been the best player that everyone wants to see? The most exciting player on the team is the guy who's not playing because we haven't seen what they've done yet. I mean, I sit here and I know who Dr. Dave Mays is, right? Because he was a backup. It's just like, because everyone, being the backup quarterback is the best gig in the world. It is, because everybody loves you because you haven't done anything wrong.
Well, here's the issue I have if I'm Kevin. I don't have a good option at quarterback right now.
Hmm.
I don't have a good one. I have a competent one in Joe Flacco. He's not a good option. Right now, in their estimation, Dylan Gabriel is not a good option at quarterback, and Shedeur Sanders is not a good option at quarterback right now. Keywords are right now. Maybe they will be. At some point, like for instance, had they not come back and won this game, Andy, and had they lost 10-0,
mm-hmm.
and they were 0-3,
change.
Why would you continue with Joe Flacco at quarterback?
I agree.
You're now 1-2. The offense actually helped in the comeback yesterday. The offense in and of itself wasn't going to win that game for you. That was really obvious. And I think it's really obvious that the offense isn't going to win a game for you this year. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe. But the offense isn't going to win games for you. What this offense can't do is lose games for you. Joe Flacco can help you not lose games, I think. Can Dylan Gabriel? I'll bet he can, to be perfectly honest. I'll bet Dylan could go out and run the offense about as well as Joe has. And I say that knowing that there's a huge disparity in the experience, but Dylan brings some other attributes to the table that might help, and mobility is obviously the key one there. But if I'm Kevin, you just won a game against the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to roll with Joe Flacco and see what happens. problem is, and I think this is a problem, this is what they put in the quarterback group. This is what you have. You have Flacco and two rookies who weren't first-round picks. And that's what you have. So your choices are not like overwhelmingly, oh, hey, it's not like you're the Giants and you traded up for Jackson Dart and you know it's only a matter of time. You know, there's no rule that says it's only a matter of time until you play your third and fifth round draft picks at quarterback. That's just the way the league works. And that's a problem. I think this is a problem. They didn't really add to the wide receiver group. Isaiah Bond could
Wait,
end up.
Yeah, are you saying that you don't think the wide receiving group is strong? I've never heard you say that on the show.
I'm not going to blame just the wide receivers here. This is a problem because your quarterback and your wide receivers are not clicking. Is it the quarterback? I don't know. Is it the wide receivers? I don't know. The top two wide receivers on this team have 39 targets. Jerry Jeudy and Cedric Tillman, 39 targets. They have 20 receptions. So basically, when Joe Flacco throws toward the wide receivers, the top two wide receivers on this team, you have a 50% chance of a completion. And that's awful. That's awful. Now, the tight ends are a little different story. That's helpful.
Who was your second leading receiver yesterday? Want to guess?
I'm not looking at the box score. Who was it?
Ford.
Jerome Ford. Yeah. Who didn't get
four
a carry,
targets,
by the way.
Four receptions. 10 yards. Four receptions.
Yeah, but it's 10 yards.
Yeah, I know.
You know? See, that's there's just
I'm still trying to figure out that
there's
flea
no
flicker
productivity
play yesterday
out of the passing game.
Didn't make
none.
Sense either,
yeah. Is it on the offensive line? Are they not giving Joe enough time? He was sacked twice yesterday. You know, his numbers aren't good. And the wide receiver's numbers aren't good. Numbers all the way around aren't good. The only thing on this offense that is clicking a little bit is the running game. And it's a little bit. Scott Petrak covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read all of his work. He joins us next here on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.